Welcome to another episode of our podcast, Let's Talk TriDelta. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mindy Tucker, TriDelta's VP of Marketing and Communications and Managing Editor of the Trident Magazine. We are now almost 2 months into this sheltering in place and staying at home, dealing with this unfolding situation around COVID-19. And as TriDelta continues to support our members, we've launched this series, Three for You. We're taking some of the most important questions or topics that you have right now, and we're finding TriDelta experts to come in and share their top three tips or best practices on that topic. And one of the big things that has happened as we've shifted to remote work and remote learning is many of us out there are looking for the best practices about this big question of distance learning and learning at home, and how do I homeschool these children of mine? So as the mom of a third grader and a sixth grader, I can tell you this topic is at the forefront of my mind every day as I juggle work and school. And I'm just wondering really how we can support our kids in this environment. So joining us today is Sarah Toretta Trout. Sarah is an alumna of TriDelta's FIMU chapter at Southeast Missouri and a longtime dedicated fraternity volunteer. She's in her 17th year as a middle school French world culture teacher. She has extensive experience in the areas of character education and cooperative learning. She's also a mom to a 2.5-year-old little boy, which is no small task at the moment. So she is learning how to reframe her day around teaching from home and parenting at home all at the same time. So I can think of no better guest to share her three tips for us on this topic than Sarah. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm really excited to talk with you today.
So I want to start off with, how are you managing this transition? I know it's hard for parents in general, but now you're parenting and teaching from home all day long. What is that like?
For us, it's been kind of, as for everyone, a bit of an adjustment. My husband is working from home, but his role requires that he's pretty much in the basement working from his 7 to 3:30 like normal. And so I'm pretty much with our son upstairs doing my job and keeping him occupied. So that has been an adjustment for us as well. And for me too, the adjustment of not seeing people every day. I'm surrounded by 150 plus middle schoolers every day. And right now I am seeing just two additional people, unless you're seeing neighbors out on a walk. But it's with that, I think the people thing has been really hard as well as just the space, being in a space all together all the time.
Yeah. So I know my days are total chaos. Getting three people organized around who has to be on Zoom when and which assignments are due and how do I log on to that Khan Academy thing again? And, you know, just all of this while working. And I know so many parents are having that same experience right now and feeling really overwhelmed. So I know you have this first really important disclaimer that I want everybody to hear loud and clear. So can you share that with our listeners?
Absolutely. We are not virtual learning. We are not e-learning and we are not homeschooling right now. Right now we are crisis learning or emergency learning. And I think that keeping that in the forefront of our minds is so key as we move forward, because I think it will help us provide patience for ourselves and give ourselves some slack when it comes to these decisions we make every day to try to get it all done.
Yeah, I appreciate that so much. I know at one point out here in California, I heard them say we're co-teaching and I was like, whoa, that is not realistic for me right now. That is not going to happen. I love you sort of setting that realistic foundation for all of us at the beginning of our discussion. But I know when we get into it, you actually do have some tips as to how we can make this work. So let's talk about your first one, which I think is around learning routines and structures.
Yes, absolutely. So I think this stems a little bit from my own experience in the first few days of this. I'm definitely a routine-driven person. Doesn't mean my days are scheduled to the minute, but it does mean that I thrive on my routine. And after a few really awful days of trying to manage the 2.5-year-old while teaching and providing opportunities of learning for my own students, I realized something had to change. So one night I sat down and I made a schedule. And the schedule literally just, for me, just showed where my day was. When I had to have certain office hours, so it kind of just gave me a visual point of what times I was filling in for us and how that was going to look. And then I got the idea to make a little one for my son. And again, he's 2.5. He doesn't know what a schedule is, but he kind of does. So we took a potato chip clip from a chip bag and a poster board, and I just drew some pictures on it for, you know, getting up, getting dressed, brushing teeth, and then eating breakfast was in there along with the getting up routines. And then I have three choices for him and just kind of goes down the day. So he knows like, oh, nap is coming, or, oh, now that we have this, daddy's off at four. So it doesn't say a time, but it shows like dad and Garrett time. And it, you know, has a little picture of two people. And so he knows what's coming and can move the clip throughout the day. And honestly, as soon as I did that, it changed our days. Our days were so much smoother. I found too that if I am getting up and getting dressed, even if it is yoga pants, because I'm wearing quite a bit more of those than I ever did teaching, even if it's just the yoga pants, that getting up and putting on an outfit and considering that my work time or my day is starting, I found that having little silly routines, like if we always have tacos on Tuesdays, or we're continuing some of those things that help us feel that continuation where it doesn't just all run into one. I was talking with a friend of mine about how she could do this with her own children because they're in elementary school, and we came up with Taco Tuesdays or No Meat Mondays because that's the thing they tried before, or Fancy Friday, and you pull out your china and you eat your grilled cheese on it. You know, it's just right. Anything you can have to be a marker of some sort, just to kind of help you have something to look forward to, or, you know, mark the time in a different way. And it doesn't mean that you can't live in the moment or stay in your pajamas all day, but if you have the structures that are similar, it helps kids feel safe and it helps them feel normal. My middle schoolers will be the first to admit, even though they say they don't like this, they'll be the first to say, like, the schedule changed. What do you mean the schedule changed?
Right. They want expecting it to be this way.
Exactly. They right. want to have that routine and that normalcy so they know what to expect. And then they know what's expected of them. So I think that keeping some kind of a structure, whatever that looks like for your family, is important. And I also, on a side note, know that there are many families out there who have children with special needs. And that's even more of an importance, is to keep some sort of a routine. A friend of mine actually sends her child goes to a private school with a uniform. He wakes up, he puts his uniform on, he walks outside, he comes right back inside, and that's starting school for him, so that he has this mental shift. And then at the end of the day, he does the same thing. He walks outside, he walks back inside, changes clothes, and it's after school time. And that has helped them immensely in their transition to this style of learning.
I can see how that would be important. It even took me, like, I think I'm there now, but we're what, 4 or 5 weeks into this? It took me really until this week to get this to where it needed to be. I had to try things and throw them out when they didn't work. And so I would just encourage people to keep trying to get to that schedule, even if you don't get it right the first time. Just try and see what works.
And we definitely do not follow our daily like schedule board to the T, but it's there and we reference it. And so I think that's the important part there. It's like a touchstone.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the structure thing is important, but you also, in your second tip, sort of shift us into the value of the spontaneous things happening during this time.
As a teacher, there is definite importance to the work we do in school, but the work I do in school is not just worksheet after worksheet after worksheet. So even things that are being provided are not the same types of experiences we wish we were giving our students. For example, I teach French and we're getting ready to do our French food unit. I cannot bring in foods for them to taste, and that's something I look forward to. So my food unit isn't going to look the same to my students. So if you at home can do something that relates to any topic that your child has, whether it's grade level appropriate or not, if you're giving them a learning opportunity through something natural in your family, then that's incredible. If you guys are baking cookies together and you want to talk about math, maybe double the recipe or half the recipe. So they're practicing fractions. They're practicing the science of baking. If they take home ec or they take a facts class, definitely have them go through a grocery list with you and learn what it's like to plan for the week and to prep out how much food you need. Those are huge, not only life skills, but they hit the topics that you get in school. And it does so in a natural way that your kid is really going to like walk away from this experience and say, I mean, that time was really tough, but my mom really did some awesome things to help me. And so anything that you can do, walking outside, playing around, whatever you can do, all that stuff is still going to help them learn. And realistically speaking, we all are going to be kind of figuring it out when we head back to school anyway. So don't stress too much about the one lesson this or the one activity that they didn't do. And don't make it so not manageable for yourself that you're all driving each other crazy. Take it and take this opportunity and make it natural for you and capitalize on the time that you have together.
I think this is so valuable. My kids go to a charter school where there's some like commonplace things they don't learn. Like they do not say the pledge every morning, which I think, I know sounds weird to a lot of people in America. It was weird to me when they first started going there. So we taught them the pledge and they've had to learn that as part of their homeschooling during our time off. My younger one also has been climbing trees. We got on our bike ride and then he stopped and climbed. And I'm just watching he's strategically having to figure out how to get up and which branch to get on. It's a little bit of a workout. It's a little bit of thinking. He feels a huge sense of accomplishment at the top. And I realized after watching it for a couple of days, that is as valuable as other learning to him right now.
Yeah, absolutely. My students and I, in my introduction to foreign language classes, we actually learn our pledge to the United States in Spanish, French, and German so that they can compare the languages. And I miss that greatly, having some of those little routines where we'll get to practice those and say those. And but there's little things that you can do every morning to start that out. Like we talked about with the routines, you can make that your routine. You set a pledge every morning, and then you take those opportunities, like climbing a tree, and you turn them into a lesson about, well, do you think that branch can handle your weight? Or do you think that, you know, you're going to be able to reach that high? And I think those are great ways to connect in science. So when they get back to school, they have a component of a real world experience to apply, because we're going to be making up things. The teachers know this because there are students who can't get to technology and students who don't have the support at home to make that happen. So we're providing resources and education, yes, but we know we're going to have to go back and fill in some gaps. So take those natural moments. Absolutely. Yeah.
So while those are great accomplishments, those are feel good moments. I also know that some of us are not having all these feel good moments. I'm an overachiever, so not achieving everything we were supposed to do in a day bothers me greatly, but I know I'm going to have those moments. And I think that's your next tip, is around sort of how do we take that pressure off ourselves and let some of this stuff go?
So that word is grace. And I think we just have to provide grace to both ourselves and to other people. Someone once told me that we should always assume that people are doing the best they can with what they have. People are not out to do a bad job, and that they're doing the best they can. And so with that, you also have to know that right now we're going to have to lower those expectations. We're going to have to make concessions for when things don't go right. We're going to know that we're all going to get on each other's nerves, and that's okay. So let's have a plan for when we need some space. And we're going to have to ask for help. And as a teacher, I see this in two ways. I see it as you as a parent reaching out to me and you saying, hey, I'm really struggling getting this all done, but we're doing a lot of awesome learning things here. So I just wanted you to know. And me as a teacher being able to then provide you with grace back and say, no problem, don't worry about this assignment, and I'll take this learning experience in place of it. And so that you're opening those lines of communication so others can provide grace to you as well. So then maybe that lightens your load by hearing someone else say, it's okay, you don't have to do this because you're doing this. And because you're facing all these other things at once. And I also think that you have to grieve the loss of our normal days, because for right now, they're not here anymore. And so if we can acknowledge that the grief process includes anger, and, you know, it includes sadness, it includes all these things that we are probably all feeling at some point. If we can acknowledge that and let ourselves kind of be in that moment and be okay to be in that moment, then I think that's helpful. And I know it's harder for some people than others. Not everybody's scenario is the same. So I know that's more challenging, but being more patient with people when you do have to go to a store and get items, or being more patient with people online, family and friends, or when you're messaging a stranger, or those types of things. Just know that everybody's doing the best they can. And also, I would like to say, so many insurance companies now are offering those employee assistance programs with virtual counseling and opportunities like that to help with mental issues help, as well as so many school districts are providing meals or connections to meals for their kids. And so I think those things are really great resources too, because you might not be able to do all the things that you normally can for your family, and you might find yourselves in those situations. So just give yourself a little bit more patience. And lastly, don't fall into the Pinterest pressure of all the people who are posting all the really cool things that they're doing. You don't know their situation. They don't know yours. If you get a chance to do some of those really cool things, great. But if you get your kids up and fed in the day and they're alive, and then it's all good. I think some of that too is really hard. I'm a perfectionist as well, and I love creating things. I'm a very big crafter. So for me, doing it crafty is sometimes my way of survival, not a challenge to others to try to crafty themselves, but we just got to do what we need to do to survive for ourselves right now.
Yeah, I totally get that. You hear all of these, it's on Pinterest, it's on Facebook, it's everywhere. I'll be the first to tell you, my house is not getting redecorated during stay at home time. It is, but it's dirty laundry and kids, and you know, it's a whole different redecorating that I didn't want. But I did make banana bread, but only because the four bananas were going ripe and my kids didn't eat them. So I think we're all sort of having to be where we are and to let things go and just do what we can. I think that's great advice to each of us. So I want to thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your three tips. I love your perspective on this as a teacher and a mom. Are there any additional resources you would suggest for our parents out there?
I don't have a specific website other than to say use your school districts. Don't try to jump on bandwagons as a fill-in for anything, because adding sometimes more tech and more resources can be frustrating as a parent and even as a teacher. So the biggest thing I think I've found in terms of resources has been all of the websites that are offering free memberships and free this and free that for students. And that is great. But then you're having to learn 5, 10, 15 new websites, ways of doing things. So in all reality, I say utilize your classroom teachers and or your districts and their websites for the connections, because most districts are going to have connections to community resources for community things that you need, whether that be food or those types of physical needs. And they're going to have links to things regarding mental health issues. So try to stay local and use your districts and your teachers to help you connect to the resources specific to your area. Also, talk to the teachers. If they're using 5 or 6 different websites for a kindergartner or a third grader, maybe you need to ask them which ones are the most important, because trying to learn all those and keep the passwords or keep the logins straight is really challenging for an adult, not to mention a kid. Right. So consolidating some of those is actually probably my advice instead of giving you more websites to go to. There are plenty out there, though. So many things are offering free subscriptions. So if you are one of those very lucky people who has it all together and you're looking for things to do with your kids, then there are free subscriptions to Rosetta Stone if you want to learn a new language together. There are free subscriptions to all these different websites, and they're great. But honestly, stick with your district and stick with your teachers and the resources that they're providing so that you don't overwhelm yourself.
I think that's good advice. Those resources are there and free and easily available. And so I think that's great advice. Thank you so much. It was great having you on Let's Talk Tri-Delta today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks. I hope that was helpful for all the parents out there who are managing several different loads right now at home. We're thinking about you. We hope all of our members and their families remain safe and are following all the guidelines around staying home. At Tri-Delta, we like to say the kindest thing we can do right now is stay home. There are also so many Tri-Deltas serving on the front lines right now as healthcare workers or in law enforcement. And I just want you guys to know that our thoughts and our Delta love are with you as you continue to serve unselfishly during this time. I hope you liked this 3 for You experience. And if you did, you can find more of that at tridelta.org/3for You. If there are any additional topics you'd like to hear about, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at podcast@trideltaeo.org. Please like, subscribe, and rate our podcast. We like 5-star ratings. In Tri-Delta, we like 3 stars, but for ratings, we like 5 stars. So we'd love for you to rate our podcast. Thank you all for talking Tri-Delta with us today. Join us next time. Stay safe and bring you.